All right, thanks guys for coming out. This is really awesome to be able to do another one of these. I think it's a very special thing to have a Shabbos Achdus. It's very special to be able to have people coming out in the cold, in the snow, the rain, you know, to really bond and unite with beer, pizza, and a shir. So we're going to start with something that I think is very deep and beautiful. That's a Shkafa shir. And we're going to talk about specifically Shovavim and getting out of Gullus. How do we get out of Gullus? So right now we're in the Tekufa, the Zman of Shovavim. But not just Shovavim, Shovavim Tat. Because it's a leap year. So they call it Shovavim Tat. It's not just Shemos, Ve'era, Bo, Mishalak, all the way through. You also get Truma and Tetzava. So in a leap year, you get those extra parshas to be able to tap into how to make yourself into a Mishkan, how to make yourself a, you know, an entity greater than you currently are. And so during Shovavim, like Rabilowitz was speaking about on Thursday, we talk about matters of Kedusha, and we try to work in areas of Kedusha. And so our rabbis tell us that it's actually one of those things where there's a general ruach of refining your midos during this time that's more present than basically any other time you might think during the year. With Elul, we know we have tshuva that we focus on, but now there's a very big ruach of character development and character growth happening right now during these parshas that we read about with Shmos and all of Sefer Shmos going forward with that. And so it's crucial to recognize that most times you're going to work on Shmiras Einayim, Shmiras Lashin. Married people will be working on things like Taras Mashpacha, and that's the areas of Kedusha. But what a lot of people don't understand is that there's also a tekufa of just generalized character development and personal growth going on right now. And so when we improve our character, when we're working on it, we have this misunderstanding. We think that it's just for us. We think that when we're working on our character, it just helps me grow. I'll be a better person for it. But in reality, one of the biggest things that you could do as a gift for your wife to be, or your wife that you may have now, is working on yourself and your kids. And in addition to that, all of Klal Yisrael. So from a general idea, we're saying that we're improving our midot, not just for us, but for Klal Yisrael. So what does that mean? In a basic answer, basically, if you don't work right now on something that you have going on, it will schlep to your marriage. And if it doesn't get worked out in your marriage, it's going to schlep to your kids. And if it doesn't get worked out through them, it's going to get schlep to their kids. And their kids, and so on and so forth. Ad infinitum, down the line, Yasher Koach for giving bad midos over, says Rabbi Yosef Lin of Machon Yaakov, our Mashgiach. And it's an amazing true thing. And you have to be very mindful about it. When you're working on yourself, it's not just to improve you. It's to improve your family tree down the line going forward for the rest of your existence. Beyond that, if that's not deep enough, when you yourself are working on yourself, you are helping to matakin the whole world. You're helping to usher in Geula. And so why is this the time that's so prevalent for character development and usher in Geula? Because Sefer Shmos is Sefer HaGeula. And so when we deeply look into these parshas, we can gain an insight from our ancestors on what they did to reawaken us now, in a certain sense, to what we have to do to get out of Gullus. So we see what they did during this time of backbreaking labor, of Makos, of all the different things going on in this entire Sefer, and see what can I tease out to live by and see how I can get out of Gullus myself during this time. And then come Pesach Seder, when you're sitting, when you're like obligated to see yourself as if you're leaving Mitzrayim, you can grab now and hold on to that. And not just do some dance around the Seder table pretending, but actually like realistically live it and feel it. And so let's dive in a little bit on what we're talking about. The Nesiv HaShalom in Parshas Yisro, which he has a beautiful piece called Shabbos Kabbalat HaTorah, or if you're Sephardi, Shabbat Kabbalat HaTorah. And there he says something fascinating. He says the Zman awakens the Kriya, and the Kriya awakens the Zman. The Zman is me'orer the Kriya, and the Kriya is me'orer the Zman. What's that mean? Well, basically, when it's Pesach time, we read in the Torah the Kriya for Pesach. When it's Sukkot, we read for Sukkot. So the Zman is Me'orer, the Kriya. The time of Pesach is awakening what we read in the Kriya, in the Kriya Zatayr. But the other side is also true. And that is what's happening right now. We're deeply involved in the Kriya Me'orering the Zman. When we are reading Sefer Shmos, we have an opportunity for that to come out into the world and bring out what's in there. We see Gullus. Where's Gullus in my life? What can I learn from what's going on over with everybody in the Chumash, in the Parsha, and bring that out in a beautiful way? Tap into that to get out of Gullus myself. And then usher in Geula. That's there. You see it also by Yisro. You're going to have an opportunity. When you're standing in shul for those Ten Commandments, you yourself, if you're tapping into it properly, says the Nesiv HaShalom, have the ability to receive them spiritually anew. And it's a beautiful thought. But so, how do we then access Geula now for Pesach time and for our whole entire life as we're going through this Zman of Shovim? And the only real way, I think, to understand deep, heavy concepts like this is to realize that we don't actually understand deep, heavy concepts like this. Many times we spend in yeshiva, as B'nai Torah, we're going through what's Bari, what's Shema, Hamotzi Mechaver, Alvaraya, you know, what's a Chazaka, a Rove, and we know those terms really, really well. We get really clear on, you know, Dofna Kuma, we get really clear on Lavud, and those are great. You need tools for Shas, but what about your Hashkafic tools for life? What about Geula? What about Amuna, Batachon, Gullus? We think, oh, I know what that is. Gullus is exile. Well, what does that mean? And so there's a funny story. Rabbi Akiva Tatz was once teaching. You might know the story. Rabbi Akiva Tatz was once teaching FFBs at a very famous yeshiva. Very famous yeshiva. And he asked them, what is the difference between Amuna and Batachon? And these, arguably, Talmidei Chachamim were stumped. People who knew halacha like cold were stumped on giving an answer between what's the difference between Amuna and Batachon. And so they looked around at each other sheepishly. One guy ultimately said, Amuna is that you believe. Batachon is that you mamish believe. to which Rabbi Tatz says, you said nothing. You said nothing. So let's make sure that we could say something at least after the end of tonight about what Geula is. So we can understand that we don't just have, you know, the scale tipped in one side. I don't want everybody to just have tools for Shas. You have to have tools for life. And when you're holding it a beautiful way, by the way, your tools for Shas, they will be also your tools for life. Because when you go into a sugya that is dark and dense and hard to understand, you could go into life, which is also dark and dense and hard to understand, and you can apply your bari, your shema, but we're not holding there yet. Let's just understand hashkafic terms as clearly as we can understand our Gemara terms. So tonight, I want to just open it up and try to appreciate what Geula is. But to understand Geula, we need the flip side. What's Gullus? And when we understand what Gullus is, we'll have a better appreciation for how to get out of it, how to usher in a time of Geula, and see how Shovavim, right now, where we're holding, is what's ultimately the time that we could tap in and bring it about, and then hopefully harness it and have it come Pesach time. So let's understand what this is all about. And I think the best person to cite right here on this is Rav Moshe Shapiro. Rav Moshe Shapiro helps us open up tremendous insights into what Gullus actually is. And so he's basing it on the Maharal in Netzach Yisrael, Perek Rishon. He has three aspects of what Gullus actually is. Not just for Klal Yisrael, but also for a person, an entity, or anything. He gives us a framework to understand, and there are three aspects of Gullus. The first is when a thing is out of place. The second is when a thing is subjugated and another power or force is dominating it, so much so that it can't actualize its potential. It can't self-actualize. And the third is when a thing is scattered. It's not united, it's unfocused, and it's disconnected. That threefold framework is everything. If you can grasp that, see how that applies to Klal Yisrael back then, today, every story of life we've ever gone through, your own story of life that you're going through, we can understand how to get out of Galus and get into Geula. Because in a certain sense, Geula is no more than the negation of Galus and actively walking forward into your redemption. So let's first unpack them. The first one we said was what? When a thing is out of place. I don't mean your sock is not in the sock drawer, right? But that's possibly, maybe, the socks. No, when the Jews are not in Eretz Yisrael, we're not there. But at the same time, what about a Yid being in a place that he or she should not be, right? Could you imagine, like, the biggest gadol being in a bar? Like, that's probably, unless he's doing phenomenal kiruv, that's most likely not, you know, I would think that looks a little funny. That looks out of place. So that's an example of what we're talking about here. Another deeper example is also, sometimes we're on our phones, and they do have a filter, and I'm going to the news, but there's that advertisement that pops up, you know, or whatever it might be. Are we always, as Yidden, in the places we should be? Shovavim is a time to be tapping into that. Shovavim is a time to be understanding, what are my eyes looking at? Where am I actually physically going? If I'm working in the city, if I'm working in New York and there's billboards everywhere, you know, am I doing my best to guard my eyes? Yeah? Or am I in Galus, in a certain sense? Right? So we know generally when a thing is out of place, the easiest answer is when the Yidden are not in Eretz Yisrael. But it's deeper than that. The second one is my favorite one, and it's the most profound aspect, I think, of what Galus actually is. And we said it's when there's something subjugating another entity, so much so that that entity can't reach its potential or fulfill its tafkid. That first part, we all know. The second part is a lot harder. But think about it. What was Galus Mitzrayim? People were subjugated, so much so by a foreign power that they were not able to do what they were supposed to be doing. Women had to do the labor of men. Men had to do the labor of women. You know, they would put a burden on you so heavy that you couldn't do anything but think about that burden. And by the time you went to bed, you just wanted to be done with the day. Who could think about personalistic growth then? That's the idea. You're subjugated so much so that you can't actually fulfill your tafkid in the world, that you can't actually actualize yourself. There's no opportunity to think about growth. And so think about that in your own day right now and in your own approach to life. To a certain extent, there are forces out there that are preventing us from self-actualizing. Sometimes they're internal. Sometimes they're external. Lots of times we call this the Yetzirah, but that's just another term, just like Galus and Geula, right? We know our tools for Shas, let's get tools for life. What is a Yetzirah? Yeah? And so when you unpack all the different aspects and dimensions of what goes into that, you see, oh, that's one thing that could be preventing me from actualizing myself. And it's not just in Mitzrayim, it's not just, you know, preventing Jews from being Jews. It's also the inner workings of our personalistic Mishkan that we're trying to build inside of ourselves, right? Terumah Tetzav is also part of Shovim this year, right? It's going to be, how do I grow? How do I make myself the person I am? What's blocking me from getting there? And that thing is a shard, a piece of Galus. And when you can get that out of you, when you extricate that shard out of you, you'll be able to actualize yourself in a big, beautiful way. And the third one makes a lot of sense to us. The third one we say in davening. The third one we said was when we are scattered, unfocused, and we're disconnected, right? So in Musaf, in our Musaf, we say, V'karev pizureinu ben agoyim, right? We even sing it, V'karev pizureinu, right? That is what we're davening for, to come back together, to be united and not scattered. We also say it in our regular Shemona Esrei, right? V'kabsenu yachad me'ar bakin fol aretz. We are literally davening to end that third component that Rav Moshe Shapiro and the Maharal tell us is a form of exile, a form of galus. And so when we synthesize this vision together, we see an amazing opportunity. We see that we can actually live and breathe this chazal, this way of living, this way of looking at the world, and we can tap in and grow. And so instead of being scattered, we can unite like we're doing right now. Have a Shabbos Achdus. You come together with people and you do your best to organize and help out in the world. And the war is a beautiful example of how so many people were coming together and still are and have this achdus, and you see it. And I really hope in Idaven that it continues long after the war. And that's one of the ways that we can hopefully, collectively, get out of Gullis. But even just individually, if we ourselves can get our own, you know, our own selves to a level that we are at, we can contribute to the whole of everybody getting out of Gullis. And then ushering in a time of Geula. The second we said already, I don't know if we belabored it, but it was heightened enough. I think it was sharpened enough that when we work on our character, we identify the negiyos, the things that are blocking us from actually being the person we want to be. Sometimes we're lazy. Sometimes we're arrogant. Sometimes we're unfocused. Sometimes we are late. Whatever it might be, there's lots of things in life. Sometimes we don't want to grow. Sometimes we just want to focus on learning halacha only or only my daf and all to the exclusion of character development. How do I improve my marriage? How do I improve my life? And we just want to focus to those. And that itself is a blockage. Because we could say, I'm a Talmud Chacham, but are you how good are you in the house? How good are you with your finances? How good are you with, your kids? And it's a whole collective universe of what we have to be working on and working towards. And every one of those things matters. And when you can find the things that are blocking you and get them worked on, either yourself, with the right people, tools, then you can get out of that aspect of the Gullis. And the first we said is when a thing is out of place, we have to make sure that we're not going to places that we shouldn't be. Can't be in places that we shouldn't be. And you have to make sure that proactively we're going into places that we really should be. This is not a speech to move to Eretz Yisrael right now, right? This is personalistic exile we're talking about, personalistic Gullis. It'd be all great if we all could go back to Eretz Yisrael. But there's something profound about recognizing that we have to be mentally in the right place, emotionally in the right place, physically in the right place, geographically in the right place, so that way we can strive and grow, expand ourselves, and blossom. And if we don't, then we're going to be missing something come Pesach time. We hinted to this in the beginning, right? We said the Mishnah of Pesachim 10:5. It's also in the Haggadah. Tells us bechol dor v'dor chayev adam lirat at atzmok ilu hu yatzim b'Mitzrayim, that we're obligated to see ourselves as if we're leaving Mitzrayim. It's not cute, right? So for our kids, it's going to be, but for ourselves, if you grab whatever and you run through all around the house, or whatever it is when you say that phrase, depending on where you are Seder time. But if you chop these three aspects right now of Gullis, and you're working on them, and you're working on them, and you're working on them, come Pesach time, you are really going to be able to see yourself as if you left Mitzrayim. Not just back then, but now also. And so to close, I just want to say that it's crucial as B'nai Torah to grow in all areas and aspects of life. We have to see that life isn't just about collecting tools for Shas. We have to have tools for life. And we have to understand that Geula is something that we are striving towards. And during Shovim, like we were speaking about, we can actually tap into it and get it clear. So let's just get those three pieces on the table one last time from Rav Moshe Shapiro and the Maharal and Netzach Yisrael. One was when a thing is out of place. Two was when a thing is subjugated and another power or force is dominating it to the point where it can't self-actualize. It can't grow. And the third is when a thing is scattered, not united, unfocused, or disconnected. We should be zocha to flip all three of those on their head. Go forward and weiter in life. Approach the sugya of life with an understanding of character development and growth. And reach our own personalistic geula. Thank you.